Do you have anything you can alter for me? Lips compressing slightly, Margaret frowned. My clothes should have held up better than that. Sighing, Albert explained his encounters with the assassin, much to Margaret's shock. My goodness, that would of course account for the excessive wear on the clothing. Are you sure it's safe for you now?
The assassin was kind enough to assure me that 3 was the number to be met, and he did ensure my death thrice, so hopefully.
Can you do what I'm asking of you?
Of course. A full set will cost 50 silver. I can have them ready in an hour, or I can have them delivered to some place in the city for you.
Wonderful. Would you have them dropped off at the Dead Man Inn for me, please?
Her smile vanished and her lips thinned.
You're with them.
Blinking for a moment, Albert felt a loss before he nodded.
Yes. If this is a problem, I can take my business elsewhere if you wish me to, Mrs. Wilson.
She paused, eyeing him, then asked,
Necromancer or summoner?
Summoner,
Albert replied with a blank face. Closing her eyes, Margaret took a deep breath before she opened them to meet his.
Do you promise to never oppose the Empire?
Tilting his head slightly in bewilderment, Albert nodded.
I have no intentions of doing so. I can't promise something so broadly, though. If the Empire for some reason aims harm at me or those I care for, I would have to respond.
I understand, and would not ask someone to stand aside while a loved one is being targeted. You must understand why your kind is so despised.
I don't, but I will make it a point to find out.
Very well. It will cost another 10 silver to have your clothes delivered to the inn tonight. If you make it 20, I will have the other set delivered tomorrow as well.
Albert placed a single gold on the counter, meeting her gaze steadily. He could see an old pain in her eyes.
I thank you, Mrs. Wilson.
He noticed she reacted slightly when he used Mrs.
I thank you for treating me fairly and with the kindness you have. If I can do anything for you or your family someday, I will do my best to show you that not all of my profession are evil.
He stepped back from the counter, bowing to her formally, then turned and walked out of the shop, feeling her eyes on his back. Once on the street again, he paused, looking through the people who moved past him. He wondered what exactly had happened in the past that caused necromancers and summoners to be treated as they were. Something to ask Stuart, he decided, before heading off towards the Portal Guild. When he reached the Portal Guild, the receptionists were changing shift, as the sun was beginning to set. The one who had been kind to him smiled warmly.
Welcome back, sir. I'm going off shift right now, but my co-worker will be more than happy to help you.
The second receptionist eyed him coolly.
This is the one you were talking about, Kim? He is far from what I would call a gentleman.
Kim blinked.
What? He has been very polite, and has been one of the few who's been tipping us regularly.
A gentle cough came from Albert.
She is referring to the fact that a friend of mine, along with myself, were being inappropriate when she was on shift the other day.
He turned to face the second woman directly and gave her a deep bow.
I apologize.
Whatever. Where are you going?
The second one said dismissively. Stormguard Fort, near the Goblin Fort, please. He dropped 2 gold on the desk. She took the coins before replying, her voice still frosty.
Have a seat.
Albert turned to go to the waiting area to find Kim walking along beside him.
Can I help you, Kim?
I was wondering exactly what you did to twist Francine's knickers like that.
Kim's eyes flashed with humor. Albert took a seat in the waiting area and explained the antics he and Karen had gotten up to. By the time he was finished, Kim was chortling.
No wonder she's all upset. Her family is very prim and proper, so of course she acts that way as well. She'll get over it after a bit. I wish you luck with your journeys tonight.
She stood, and with a parting smile walked out the doors. Albert watched her go. Then the same old portal mage that had been working with Francine the other day approached him.
Your portal is ready, sir,
the old man spoke in a neutral tone. Alberich followed the mage, ignoring the glare from Francine as he went by. He tipped the mage a gold before stepping on the rune that teleported him to the fort. Appearing right outside the gates, he walked into the fort nodding to the men who greeted him. As he approached Sergeant Jasper, he noted the sergeant was talking with another player who promptly ran off. Alberich greeted the sergeant with a salute.
"Are you back to speak with the commander, Alberich?" Jasper asked after returning the greeting.
"Yeah, that was the idea," Alberich replied. Jasper asked the quartermaster to watch his desk for a minute. Leading Alberich up the stairs, Jasper asked,
"So what happened to your partner?"
"She had some stuff to do for a bit. I'll be meeting back up with her later tonight to celebrate our victory over the goblins and orcs."
"I wish you luck," Jasper said,
as he knocked, then ushered Alberich into the commander's room.
"Sir, Alberich has returned with word."
"Very good, Sergeant. You are dismissed,"
the commander said, giving Jasper a salute. Once Jasper left, the commander turned to Alberich.
"Report."
It took only a few minutes for Alberich to get the commander caught up on the ambush and the death of Death Tracker Grug.
"Very good,"
the commander said, pushing a parchment across the desk.
"Take that to the quartermaster. You've done the Empire a service by stopping the two races from joining forces. Well done."
"You are now friendly to all Stormguard guard factions." Alberich picked up the parchment with a smile and saluted the commander.
"Thank you, sir."
The commander returned the salute before dismissing Alberich, who gratefully left the room. He wandered down to the main room to find Private Jenkins speaking with Jasper. Jenkins moved over to intercept Alberich.
"A moment, if you don't mind, sir," Jenkins said.
Alberich stopped with a single raised brow.
"Yes?"
Bowing his head, Jenkins spoke softly but with conviction.
"I wish to apologize for my actions when we last met. I let my prejudices and emotions get the better of me."
A small smile flitted across Alberich's face as he thought back to a young guard he used to work with who was much the same as Jenkins. When he replied, his tone was level.
"I accept and hold you no ill will, Jenkins. Part of being human is making mistakes. The key is to learn from them."
Jenkins raised his head to meet Alberich's eyes, seeing acceptance and respect.
"Thank you, sir."
With that, Jenkins left. Jasper cleared his throat.
"You know, you are pretty unusual, Alberich. Only a handful of other two-souled have been as considerate as you."
"I believe tomorrow will bring many, many more of my kind to the world. I wish you the best in dealing with them. Most will be like spoiled children."
"I do not doubt," Jasper chuckled. "Well, don't let me keep you from your celebration."
"See you around, Sarge,"
Alberich replied, before going over to the quartermaster and showing him the parchment from the commander. The quartermaster nodded, handing him 20 gold.
"Let your fellows know that they just need to speak with me to claim their reward, please." "Will do,"
Alberich replied, before quickly using his mind stone to let the others know. He then used his home stone to go back to Stormguard. Once back in the city, he turned towards the Dead Man Inn with a smile. He entered the building to see the place was starting to fill up with the evening crowd. Behind the bar was the owner, so Alberich went over and dropped 6 gold on the counter, which got his attention.
"I owed you 5 for the deal from this morning, and the other is for a very good meal for 3 to be delivered to my room in an hour or so. Stacia will retrieve it for me."
Lips pursed slightly. The owner nodded.
"Aye, it will be done. Stuart was wanting to speak with you when you got back."
"That works. I needed to speak with him too. Where is he?"
"Downstairs. You know the way, right?"
"I remember it,"
Alberich replied, taking the path down into the earth to see Stuart. After the trek down to the catacombs, Alberich looked around, getting a better look at all the people down here. He saw 4 different summoners and 6 different necromancers, judging by the paraphernalia on the desks that dotted the cavern. At least each race was represented for each class, with necromancers having 2 extra humans. Alberich walked to the back area where Stuart sat, leaned back in his chair, his feet up and a book in hand. As he approached, Stuart glanced up with a thoughtful expression.
"Greetings, Alberus. Glad you could make it."
"Evening, Stuart.
A quick question. What is the name of the owner of the inn? I just never seem to remember to ask him."
"Alastairn Crowley is the owner of the Dead Man Inn. Have a seat. We should talk about a few things."
Stuart let his chair drop forward as he grabbed two goblets and filled them with wine. Taking a seat, Albert accepted a goblet.
"I do have a question I would like answered. So do you want to tackle that first or these other subjects?"
"What is the question?"
"Why are necromancers and summoners so despised?"
"It goes back to the First Empire. During the reign of Maximus the Just, a necromancer known as Franklin Stein started an uprising. He gathered to him many necromancers and demonic summoners who felt as he did. The strife started by Stein lasted for 20 years. It wiped whole towns from the empire, as the plague of undead and demons summoned by their masters overran the countryside."
Stuart paused to sip his wine.
"Stein was caught and imprisoned in the darkest dungeon the Empire had built, Alcatruz. The prison suffered some calamity that is lost in legend. All that is known is that the place seemed to vanish. It wasn't until the rise of Maximus the Lightbringer, the Fourth Emperor, that the rebellion was brought to an end. For the next 400 years... necromancy and summoning were capital crimes. Doing either resulted in a death sentence for the practitioner. 200 years ago, the Empire relaxed the law when a pair of adventurers saved the then-Emperor from a dragon attack. Those two were necromancer Steinberg and summoner Yuna. So, we come to today, where the practicing of those paths is frowned upon by many. But as long as no undead or demons are summoned inside the city, it is tolerated."
"So it's a deep-rooted prejudice," Albert sighed.
"Oh, well, yes, it is. But we can rise in society even with this stigma associated with us. One of the major houses has been focused on demonic summoning for generations. Now that I've answered your question, how about we talk about the things I wanted to discuss?"
Stuart smiled tightly as he poured himself some more wine. Shrugging, Albert sipped at the dry red wine gingerly. He wasn't big on wine, but didn't want to offend Stuart.
"Okay, what did you want to talk about?"
"Tell me about the assassin, and how that came about first, please."
Stuart settled back in his chair, listening attentively. Albert gave Stuart a quick rundown of the events that led up to the assassin attacking him.
"So that is the reason, I'm sure, but I still don't understand his motive."
Stuart facepalmed, sighing.
"Wilbur is the younger son of Gildenhaus, younger by 5 minutes. His twin brother is Skippy. Skippy is a piece of work. They couldn't be more different if they tried."
"Wait, so Wilbur hired an assassin because I called him Skippy?"
"No, Skippy probably hired the assassin for that reason. You see, Skippy Gildan is trying to raise his standing in the royal court, but he hates his brother, who he thinks is dragging down the family name by being a guard."
"Ick, politics," Albert shuddered.
"Okay, so I guess that answers the question. I should be going. I should have a friend showing up for dinner soon."
"Wait a moment, please."
Stuart sat forward, pinning Albert with his eyes.
"Tell me your intentions with Stacia."
"Huh?"
"Regarding Stacia. I've been told you've hired her as a personal maid for the next few weeks. Is that just so you can have a companion at night, or is it for different reasons?"
Brow furrowing in confusion, Albert stood up.
"I don't see how it is your concern when her own father okayed it. But to keep our relationship friendly, I will say that at the moment it is because she asked me to request it. I'm not averse to the fact that she fucks like a mink and seems to want it."
Stuart stood up, meeting Albert's angry gaze with a level one in return.
"I am her godfather, funny as that sounds considering my vocation. I worry about her. Treat her with respect and as she wishes, and there will be no issue."
I have never treated a woman in a way she objected to. So if that is all...
Albrecht stated, and at Stuart's nod he stepped onto the rune, which transported him to the graveyard outside.
Albrecht paused as the night air caressed his face. Shaking his head to clear it, Albrecht turned to re-enter the inn just as his message icon lit up. Message from Karen.
Hey there, be along in a few. Just picking up my coin from the fort, then I'll meet you at the inn.
Albrecht sent a quick response, then entered the inn with a grin on his face, as he thought of all the possible fun that might be coming his way soon.
Albrecht, human summoner, level 13. Strength, 18. Agility, 18. Constitution, 25. Intelligence, 39. Wisdom, 43. Charisma, 30. Health, 900. Mana, 1080. Spells. Demon Skin, rank 2. Demonic Retribution, rank 2. Summon Least Imp. Fire Blast. Sap Strength. Demonic Haze. Summon Lesser Destroyer. Demonic Vitality. Fire Burst. Abilities. Personal Spells. Flame Weapon. Celebration. The inn was even busier when Albrecht walked in the second time. Making his way to the bar, he got Alistern's attention.
My guest is arriving shortly. Is there any chance the food can be ready sooner?
Alistern nodded.
Of course. It shall be ready when you require it.
Albrecht thanked him, then made his way up to his room. When he opened the door, Stacia was seated at the table. Two cups and a teapot sat on the table. When the door opened, she looked over. Seeing it was him, she stood with a brilliant smile.
Welcome back, sir, she curtsied.
She was wearing a different outfit than he'd seen her in so far. This one was a nearly standard French maid outfit. The neckline was a touch higher and the skirt a few inches longer than he was used to seeing on that kind of outfit. All in all, it held the sexy maid vibe, while also giving the impression that she was actually a maid, not a sex toy. The curtsy still gave him an ample eyeful of her bust, though, which brought a smile to his own lips.
Evening, Stacia. We shall be having company soon. One of the people who has been adventuring with me is going to be here to celebrate the quest line we completed today. I ordered a meal for three from the kitchen. Once my guest arrives, I would like you to retrieve it for us. I want you to treat them with the utmost respect, please.
Stacia's brow furrowed for a moment as he mentioned company, but cleared upon hearing that it was a celebration. She curtsied again.
As Sir wishes, so shall it be. You should sit and relax until your company gets here.
She picked up the pot, pouring a cup of tea for him. Albrecht sat down and sipped the barley tea with a pleased sigh.
Very good, Stacia.
He twitched slightly as her hands touched his shoulders, but soon relaxed as he felt her begin to massage his muscles.
Just relax from your long days, sir. I will take very good care of you, Stacia said in a whisper right next to his ear, a voice like silk. What is the name of your guest, sir?
Sipping the tea while relaxing under her hands, he replied,
Karen. She's a skilled assassin.
Stacia's hands paused briefly on hearing the obviously feminine name.
I see, sir. Other than dinner, did you have other plans that require me for the evening?
Her voice became very businesslike, losing the silken edge.
Actually, yes. I'm looking forward to a massage later. Considering that I told Karen how good you are at giving them, she would probably like one as well. Is this a problem?
The last four words came out with a bit of fire in them, as he tilted his head back to meet her eyes. Stacia met his gaze, shivering at the sheer force she saw there. She dropped her eyes, her head bending slightly forward so her hair covered her face. She spoke very softly.
No, sir. Anything you want, I will be given to you if you ask.
Albrecht reached out and gently touched her cheek, brushing back her hair.
Good girl. If you do a really good job, I promise you any one reward you want later.
She tilted her head into his hand, looking at him eagerly.
Anything, sir.
Lips quirking up into a smirk at her sudden change, she chuckled.
Oh, so you do want something from me after all. I can't promise anything, but if I reject your first request, you can keep asking until I find one I can grant.
She turned her head a touch further and kissed his wrist.
I will do me best, sir.
A knock sounded at the door and Stacy went to answer it, smoothing her outfit as she went. As she opened the door, Albert saw Karen standing there in a black dress that flattered her small figure.
Welcome to Albert's room. Be a Karen,
Stacy asked her, eyes flickering over the small woman as a smile formed on her face. Karen looked at Stacy with a raised brow, glancing at Albert briefly before addressing Stacy.
Yes, I'm Karen. Who might you be? My name be Stacia. I be Albert's personal maid while he stays with us here. Please come in and be welcomed as the sir desires.
She ushered Karen into the room. Albert got to his feet as Karen entered, bowing to her.
Good to see you again, Karen. You look amazing in that dress. Please come in and have some tea. Dinner will be along shortly.
He pulled a chair out for her. Lips quirked in an expression he couldn't read. Karen nodded, taking the offered seat as he pushed the chair in for her. He was about to pour her a cup of tea, but Stacia had come back to the table by then and was doing it already, so he took his seat again.
I'll be back in a few minutes with the food, sir,
Stacia said, curtsying.
So, a personal maid?
Karen asked as Stacia left the room.
It kind of happened, yeah.
Albert chuckled slightly, feeling a touch nervous for some reason.
Just had to keep her close after the massage, right?
Actually, she asked for the arrangement, he replied. Having a personal maid was 8 times as expensive as the room for the month. If you're up for it after dinner, though, I can have her rub you down.
A small laugh escaped Karen as she shook her head.
You just want me naked in your room.
Well, that is a part of it. Also, watching her rubbing you down does have an appeal for me.
Albert said with a chuckle, deciding he might as well be completely honest with her.
It's your choice, of course. We could also make use of the baths in the building. If you haven't had a bath in game yet, you should try it at least once.
So you want me naked, wet, and in easy reach?
Her eyes were sparkling with laughter. He was about to reply when he caught the hint of heat in her eyes. He let his smile broaden.
It has a very firm appeal to me, I won't deny it.
Karen was about to reply when the door opened, admitting Stacia along with one of her sisters, carrying 2 trays each. Stacia's youngest sister followed with 2 bottles and 3 goblets in hand. The trio of sisters quickly set the table, then the other 2 left, leaving Stacia in the room.
Dinner is ready, sir,
Stacia said, removing the covers from the platters. Before them sat steaming bowls of stew and 2 loaves of bread.
Tonight, you'll be having the best stew in the inn. Me ma's special recipe. The drink be a good wine that will complement the stew.
She opened one of the bottles and poured wine into 2 goblets before stepping back. Shaking his head, Albert turned to her and pointed at a chair.
You will be joining us, Stacia. Why do you think I had a meal for 3 prepared?
Stacia stood her ground, refusing to look at him.
That wouldn't I be right?
I do not care one whit. Sit and eat with us. That is an order.
His voice became steel as he spoke. Slowly she came forward and sat down, pouring herself some wine. The voice was meek.
As you wish it, sir.
Wow, you do have a firm side,
Karen murmured.
I think tonight is going to be more fun than I'd thought.
Glancing at her, Albert raised a brow.
Oh? Do you like a man who can take control, then?
Only if they prove they can tame me,
Karen replied with a smirk.
I recall you failing at that a lot today.
absently rubbing at one of the spots where she'd bruised him during the sparring earlier. He nodded once. True, but I did manage it once. Conversation faded as they dug into the stew. Albert's eyes widened as the flavor permeated his mouth. It held a touch of sweetness that blended perfectly with the spice that was beginning to warm his mouth. It took a second bite, and the heat began to spread throughout his face.
It's spicy, but not overbearing. That touch of sweet makes you want another bite, Albert said, taking a third bite.
This is the best stew I've had, Karen added. Beef with barley is the base, but I have no idea what seasonings are in it.
Ma will nae even tell us, saying she will only tell once we find a man to settle down with, Stacia said softly, nibbling a chunk of bread between bites of the stew. If the heat gets too much, eat the bread.
Albert broke a chunk off the bread, setting it beside his bowl as he took his fourth bite of stew. He could feel heat spreading through his body by then.
Does the heat keep growing?
Aye, like the fires of hell, Stacia said softly. Me da can't even finish a bowl without bread, and he's been eating this dish for years.
Karen took a bite of the bread.
Wow, it really does ramp up. This is wonderful. The bread quenches the heat in the mouth and spreads to the rest like the stew did.
Albert took another bite of stew as he gauged how many more bites were in the bowl. Fifth bite in and he hadn't made a noticeable dent in the serving. Now the heat made him start to perspire. He wiped the sweat from his brow and took another bite. Stacia eyed him nervously.
Sir, you should nae push yourself like that.
Karen chimed in.
I agree with Stacia, Albert. It wouldn't do for you to be unable to enjoy the rest of the night.
Albert was about to take another bite of the stew, doggedly determined to see how much he could stand, then glanced at the women. With a sigh, he put down the spoon and took a bite of bread instead. Stacia let out a relieved sigh, her hand dropping under the table to squeeze his thigh once. The meal continued with minimal talk, each of them enjoying the stew. Albert discovered the wine didn't affect the heat from the stew at all. It did, however, add a whole different flavor to the stew, which seemed to help emphasize the sweetness. The flavors mingled like two lovers in the throes of ecstasy. When they finished, Albert sat back, sipping the wine in his goblet as he nibbled the last of his bread.
Wow, I really need to make sure your mother is compensated for that meal. I would easily rank it in the top five meals I've ever eaten in either world.
Lips pursed. Karen nodded slowly.
Top five might be a bit much, but easily the top 10. Top five is hard to beat out, but it surely gives them a run for it.
I will pass along your kind words to her,
Stacia said as she sipped her own wine.
A question, sir. Why did you invite me to join the meal?
Karen showed interest in his answer as well. Albert replied, Honestly, Stacia, it just felt right. Where I come from, most people don't have personal maids, and it just seemed wrong to not include you. I will ask you to join me in all the meals I take while I'm here, probably. They finished the wine before Albert spoke again, addressing Karen.
So, you little minx, did you want to take a bath and have Stacia rub you down?
Karen looked at Stacia for a moment.
Stacia, are you willing?
Stacia met Karen's eyes for a moment before a smile crept across her lips.
Aye, miss. I will gladly serve you as my sir wishes.
Albert coughed gently. Well then, bath first, then back here for a massage. Stacia, if you'll show her to the bath, I'll be along in a moment.
He followed them out of the room, but went downstairs to the packed tap room. He elbowed his way to the bar, catching Alistair's attention. When he came over, Albert dropped a gold on the bar.
My companion and I will be using the bathing room. This is to make sure all my meals are doubled. Stacia will be joining me when I eat.
Alistair picked up the gold with a nod, his eyes drilling into Albert.
Do not lead me girl astray, summoner. If you hurt her, I will be most upset.
My word that I will not, Alistair.
Albert replied firmly, before turning and going back upstairs to the bathing room. Stacia met him at the door of the bathing room.
Please go in, sir. I'll be right behind you.
Entering, he saw Karen seated under a shower with her eyes closed, letting the water run over her body. Albert watched the water wash over her small form, noting her toned muscles with interest. He stripped off his own clothing, taking the spot next to Karen, and grabbed the chain to allow warm water to wash over him. When he released the chain after a couple of minutes, Stacia was also naked, kneeling behind Karen, scrubbing her back while humming a soft tune. Karen seemed relaxed as Stacia's hands moved along her back. Neither woman seemed to notice Albert sitting right there. Stacia leaned in and whispered into Karen's ear, which prompted Karen to stand up, allowing Stacia to start on the toned legs before her. She scrubbed both the front and back as Karen stood there, before she softly asked Karen to sit back down. Once Karen was reseated, Stacia leaned in, pressing her breasts into Karen's back as she whispered to her. Karen shivered slightly at whatever was said, leaning back into Stacia. Stacia looked over at Albert, her eyes smoldering with desire, as her hands gently reached around and began to scrub Karen's chest. As Albert's eyes went from Stacia's eyes to the sight of one beauty rubbing the other, he felt himself stiffen. A wicked smile came to Stacia's lips, and she gently pinched Karen's nipples, which pulled a soft moan from Karen, before her hands traveled down the flat stomach. Albert felt his pulse begin to increase as he watched the show, his breathing becoming shallower as his excitement increased. A moment later, Stacia pulled her hands away from Karen after one more squeeze of the smaller woman's breast, then gently eased Karen back into an upright position. Whispering to Karen one more time, Stacia got off her knees, walking around in front of Karen and pulling the chain, bringing warm water down on them both. Karen seemed to rouse slightly at that point, her eyes locking onto the naked beauty before her. Stacia grinned down at Karen before taking the other's hand and putting it on the chain. Once Karen had the chain, Stacia leaned down and kissed her gently before pulling back. Albert shivered at how erotic the women looked. He closed his eyes, taking a deep shuddering breath as he tried to calm his excitement. When he opened them, Karen was turned to face him on her seat, as he felt Stacia push her naked body against him from behind. He swallowed hard as he felt himself stiffen fully from just that contact and the previous show.
"It be your turn now, sir,"
Stacia whispered softly into his ear, her voice eager. Albert found his gaze drawn to Karen, who was watching him, her eyes full of desire. Stacia began to hum the same tune she had with Karen earlier, as her hands and breasts began to rub the soap onto his naked body. Albert felt his mind grow a little fuzzy as Stacia scrubbed him. He was focused on the woman soaping him and the one across from him who was gently tugging on her hard nipples as she watched them. Stacia leaned into his back as her hands began to scrub his chest. As she ran her hands over his chest, she whispered into his ear,
"I be just going to clean you, sir. Just like last time."
Her words were a silken purr as her hands grasped him firmly, stroking his manhood once. A growl emerged from his throat as she stroked him twice more, then her hands vanished. A moment later she stood before him, her entire front coated with suds, tugging on the chain to bring water cascading down over them both. Albert felt some of his stupor fall away as he watched Stacia rinse the soap from herself. Her hands lingered on her chest and again between her legs. When she placed his hand on the chain, he held onto it and blinked, feeling his head clear as if coming out of a daze. Stacia had returned to Karen, leading her by the hand to the big tub, which prompted Albert to hurriedly rinse the rest of the soap off his body. He walked over to the tub as Karen sank into the hot water with a happy sigh. Wrapping his arms around Stacia, he nibbled her neck.
"You little wench, working both me and her into an overly excited state like that."
Stacia let out a soft moan as she pressed her ass back into his stiff cock.
"Did you nae enjoy the show or me hand, sir?"
A dark chuckle came from his lips as he pulled her with him into the tub. He settled into one of the contoured seats, holding her to his chest the whole time.
Of course I enjoyed it, but now I think turnabout is fair play. Oh, Karen.
Karen glided over to them with a wicked gleam in her eyes.
Oh, I agree with you, Albert.
Without missing a beat, Karen joined in with Albert as their hands roamed over the shapely body he held to him. Stacia moaned as the duo worked her body over with precision, then gasping as Albert let one arm slide down to hold her a bit lower than the waist. He didn't let his fingers invade her, but the heel of his palm was right against her lower lips, which meant every time he moved his hand her clit would be stimulated just enough to tease. They toyed with her in such a fashion for what seemed like hours to her, but was closer to half an hour. Alberic finally released her, much to her regret, as she had found a way to rock against his hand to increase her own pleasure.
Time to go back to the room. Don't you agree, Karen?
He asked with a smirk at Stacia's obvious disappointment.
Oh, I agree.
Time to really celebrate, right? Albert and Karen climbed out of the tub, snagging two towels and driving off quickly, while Stacia tried to gather her own thoughts. They donned the robe Stacia had laid out by the time she'd gathered her wits, looking at her with amusement.
Sorry, be coming right now,
she started, but Karen quickly interjected.
Not yet, but give me a few minutes in the room and you will be.
Stacia got out of the tub, reaching for a towel only to have it pulled out of her reach. Albert and Karen pounced on her from either side, wrapping her up in their towels instead. Stacia preened at the attention, disappointed when they stopped and held out a robe to her. A minute later, they'd all returned to Albert's room. No sooner had the door closed behind Albert than Karen was pulling her robe off, letting it fall to the floor. She eagerly threw herself onto the bed face down before stretching. Looking back over her shoulder, she smiled.
I believe there was going to be a massage, right?
Albert chuckled and took a seat at the table.
Correct. Stacia, I do believe you're up.
Stacia grabbed a bottle from the sideboard before walking back to the bed. She stripped off her own robe, letting it fall to the floor, turning sideways to show her profile off to Albert.
Sir, does the deal from earlier still hold?
It took him a moment to recall what he'd said about the massage earlier. Grinning, he replied,
If Karen says your massage was one of the top three she's ever received, then yes.
Eyes blazing with triumph, Stacia nodded. Accepted.
She tipped some vanilla-scented oil into her hand, warming it, then began the massage. Albert watched as Stacia worked her hands over Karen's body. She was focused solely on the task before her, not on making it a show for him. The happy little noises Karen made at times were erotic enough. Stacia worked her way down Karen's body, then rolled her over onto her back, working her way back up. Shortly after Stacia began to work the oil into the smaller, pert breasts of Karen, she leaned down and kissed her gently. Karen moaned eagerly, opening her mouth to turn the small kiss into a passionate one, even as Stacia's hands continued their assault. Albert sat up straight, eyes intent on the scene before him, his heart speeding up at the sight. He swallowed hard as he watched one of Stacia's hands ease down Karen's front, until it came to rest between her open legs. Hands shaking, he felt the blood rushing from his brain as other parts of him demanded it. He got to his feet, drawn like a moth to a flame as he stripped the robe off. He came up behind Stacia, who was bent over the bed eagerly kissing Karen. He tapped Stacia's legs gently, which she spread for him. As she felt him pierce her from behind, her moan mingled with Karen's. Hours later, the trio were lying in bed, exhausted and spent, but each of them fully sated by all the carnal desires they had indulged in. Karen stretched with a cat-like smile, turning her head to look at Albert.
So, how was the celebration?
I don't think anything could top that, he replied with a grin.
Right.
Karen giggled, then sighed.
Damn it, I do need to get going. I have a class to teach tomorrow, and on top of that, the day after, I'm representing the dojo in attorney. It will be a few days before I make it back on. That's fine, though, considering tomorrow normal access starts up, which means way more people.
That still kind of sucks,
Albert replied, slightly adjusting the arm Karen was using as a pillow.
Oh, well. I'm sure I won't be too much further ahead of you by the time you return.
Please stop by again so we can indulge some more,
Stacia said from Albert's other side.
Before you depart to the land of the two souled, can you tell Sir if me massage was one of the top three you ever received?
Karen sat up so she could lean over Albert to kiss Stacia.
Best massage ever.
Stacia pulled Karen down for another kiss.
Thanks. Well, no more waiting, I guess. Do you mind if I log out here?
Karen asked, still partially draped over Albert.
It costs a kiss for that to be approved,
Albert chuckled. Karen chuckled as well before she kissed him deeply. Just as his arms snaked up to embrace her, she vanished into thin air, leaving him feeling disappointed.
Oh, that little fucking minx.
Stacia snuggled closer to him.
Feel free to use me in her stead.
Turning his head, he leaned in and kissed her. He broke the kiss a minute later.
I think it's time for bed now.
He turned and wrapped Stacia up in a tight embrace, pulling her back to his front and nuzzled her neck.
Good night, O fair maid.
Good night, sir,
Stacia replied as she relaxed into the spoon. Albert woke gradually to the warmth and sensation of Stacia between his legs, sucking him. He shuddered at her expert work, giving in and enjoying the sensations washing through him. He wondered briefly if he hadn't actually died in jail and was now experiencing heaven, or a close approximation of it. After a few minutes, he tangled his hands in her hair so he could control what she was doing. After another few minutes, he shuddered in climax, as she eagerly swallowed every drop of his seed. Once she had cleaned him thoroughly, which sent aftershocks of pleasure through him, she slid up his body to gently lay astride him.
"Morning, sir. I hope you enjoyed the wake-up call,"
she said as she peeked at him through her lashes.
"I think I could have died happy with you doing that,"
he said, reaching up to caress her cheek.
"Feel free to wake me like that any time."
"About last night?"
Stacia said, meeting his eyes fully.
"I believe you owe me any one request."
When Albert nodded, she continued.
"I then request to call you master, in all meanings of the word, instead of sir."
Albert felt his anatomy stir at her words, as being called master by a willing woman was one of his many desires.
"I accept your request. I shall be your master in all things."
"Thank you, master,"
she whispered, her eyes bright as she leaned in and kissed him. As their lips touched, they each felt a sharp jolt at their core, which made them pause and gaze into each other's eyes. Albert could see unbridled happiness and acceptance mixed with desire and need in Stacia's. He wondered if she could see how happy her words and actions had made him, even through his uncertainty at this sudden closeness that had come about so quickly.
"Now, what nickname to give you?" Albert murmured. "Karen is already Minx, so what to call you?" "So eager to be stroked, so soft and lovable. Yet I feel you could bring out claws at any time. I shall have to call you Kitten. This way when you purr, I know it's for me."
Stacia laid her head on his chest and let out a soft purr as she nuzzled him.
"Whatever master desires."
He brought a hand up to tangle into her hair.
"Right now what I want is to be rough with you."
He smiled at her soft moan as she nipped at his chest.
"I know you enjoyed the spanking the other day."
2 hours later, he sent her down to get breakfast for them both.
He lay back on the bed, closing his eyes. It had only been 6 days since he was thrust into this world. Game, he corrected himself. Yet in that time he felt a profound sense of peace, as if he belonged here. He had made friends who weren't judging him, but they didn't know his past. He wondered how they would view him if they found out. He also had found someone who came very close to what he had always considered his ideal woman. On top of that, he had found a woman who would gladly spar with him, then fuck his brains out to boot. He got up, stretching as he did, thinking about what he should accomplish today, when his mail icon started to flash. Message from Fluffball.
Hey, I don't know if you're on, but I figured the quest chain is over with by now. I'm thinking about hitting up the Goblin Village. If you want to join me, just let me know, please.
He sent her back a message that the quest chain was indeed over, but he would be glad to join her in about an hour at the Portal Guild. Just as he sent the message, Stacia came back into the room with the food and a package.
Your clothes from the tailor came last night. Doc kept them behind the bar as he did not want to disturb you.
That was nice of him. Just store them in the wardrobe for now. I'll be heading out to hunt goblins after breakfast. I'll probably be out for about half the day, should be back by evening, Albert told Stacia as she laid out breakfast for them. She pouted just a little, but nodded.
I understand, Master. It is, after all, the calling of the two soul to fight back the monsters. I just wish I could go with and help you, but I would only be a hindrance. I will make sure everything is ready for your return.
Pursing his lips, he examined her features as he placed 5 gold on the table.
Go out shopping. Buy whatever you wish to spend the coin on.
When she started to object, he held out a hand to silence her. Once she stopped, he continued.
No arguments, kitten. I have never had as much personal joy as I have in the last 2 days. This is my way of giving back a little to you. So take it and go spend it.
Stacia took the coin, biting her lip as if she wanted to say something but was afraid to ask. She spoke in a rush.
Are you really a two-souled?
Chuckling, Albert replied. What makes you think I'm not?
You do not depart like Karin did last night. You have been here the last few days all the time, unlike any other two-souled I've heard of. You treat all of us with courtesy like any normal folk, unlike most two-souled. You do not just run around demanding things of others. On top of all that, you have treated me like a lady at times, and they are just a bar wench.
She looked away from him as if afraid of how he might reply. He considered for a moment what he could say before answering her.
Stacia, my pretty little kitten, look at me, please.
He waited until she met his gaze.
I am a two-souled, do not doubt that. With that said, though, I am a unique two-souled. What I am about to tell you cannot be shared with anyone, even your own family. Do you agree?
Her eyes widened slightly, but she nodded.
On me soul, Master.
Taking a deep breath, he began.
I am a new type of two-souled. One day there will be others like me who can stay in this world for longer times. But for now, I believe I am the only one. Once a month, I will be gone for an entire day as my soul is taken back to the other world. On that world, I am helping others with an experiment. If it is successful, it will help many others. All the other days, I will be here in Alpha World all the time. My day of absence is about 3 weeks away. I will try to warn you ahead of time, but even I am not exactly sure when it will happen.
Stacia looked a little uncertain.
You will come back after the day away?
Of course. I will do my very best and bend heaven and hell to make it back. Now, I must go.
He got up and began to equip his gear.
You be good, kitten. I look forward to later tonight.
Stacia curtsied to him.
Be safe, Master. I shall be waiting.
He could tell she was worried, but he couldn't do anything else for her right now.
He closed the distance between them, grabbing her firmly as he pulled her into an embrace and kissing her deeply.
He let the kiss linger for a few minutes, then sat her down before he spun and left the room. He felt a small tug at his chest when he left, as if he was leaving a small piece of himself. Shaking it off, he nodded to Stacia's sister behind the bar, who winked at him as he headed out to the Portal Guild. He was going to be a little late unless he picked up the pace, so he started to jog.
Goblin Slaying. As he jogged along the roads to the Portal Guild, he saw more people running down the streets. He smirked, knowing that the majority of them would be players who had just started today. He snorted as he watched one of the new players collide with a city guard, as if he expected to be able to run through the guard. Arriving at the Portal Guild a few minutes later, he paused outside to take a few deep breaths before going inside. Entering, he found the waiting area full of people, all talking excitedly with each other. He looked over the crowd trying to find Fluffball. He stepped towards the receptionist's desk, wondering where Fluffball could be. Fluffball called out to him as he was passing the waiting area.
"Al, how are you doing?"
As the words left her mouth, he got the invitation to group. Accepting the invitation, he replied to her.
"Doing pretty good, Fluff. Did your business go well?"
"Yes. Wow, I see you've hit level 13. Have you already been out to the village overrun by goblins?"
she asked, joining him in line at the reception desk.
"Yeah, been there. Even went out to the orc area yesterday to do a quest chain."
"Oh, got the drop off a goblin messenger?"
"Yeah, that was the quest chain I sent you a message about. Too bad you missed it. Mary Sue asked if you had been around, by the way."
"Mm-hmm. I had a couple of messages from her asking if I wanted to party up with them when I was gone. They're both 14 already, which is amazing. They both must be playing a lot. I'm hoping to hit 12 today myself."
Fluffball turned to the receptionist as they reached the front of the line.
"Hi. Party of two for the ruined village that's overrun by goblins?"
A receptionist Albert hadn't met was manning the desk.
"That will be a gold and a half each."
Albert put 3 gold onto the desk.
"I got this round, Fluff."
The receptionist took the gold and bade them wait in the waiting area. As they got out of the way for the next in line, Albert offered his arm to Fluff.
"Shall we?"
Fluffball smiled broadly, grooming one of her ears momentarily before taking his arm.
"I see you are still the gentleman."
"Always treat the women you are with as ladies while in public. It's been one of my mottos for some time."
Albert replied as he led her to the waiting area and looked for a seat. He found a single chair off to the side and quickly took her to it.
"Please sit,"
he said as he swept his free hand at the chair.
"Oh, I wouldn't feel right taking the only seat," Fluff said.
"Well, you can have the chair, I can take it, then pull you into my lap,"
Albert said without thinking about who he was with. Fluff's eyes went wide as she looked at him in shock, her cheeks red under the fur. She groomed one of her ears nervously as they stood in front of the seat in silence for a second. Albert realized what he had just said and to whom, and winced internally.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I've been hanging around with some different people over the last few days. It seems my mouth-to-brain filter is off at the moment."
Albert felt his cheeks tinge slightly in embarrassment for having caused Fluff to be discomfited.
No, it's okay. You won't do anything if I take the seat, right?" Her voice was full of uncertainty.
"I will not lay a finger on you without your approval," Albert replied, gesturing to the seat.
Fluff sat down, keeping her eyes on him as she did. A silence fell between them for a time, each of them trying to think of a way to break the awkward moment.
"So," Albert finally said, "I've been a little curious, so I might as well ask you. Why are you so nervous or embarrassed when I make the occasional remark?"
He kept his tone level, laced with the warmth of one friend concerned for another. Fluffball looked away from him, her cheeks turning red again. When he saw that, he quickly continued.
"I mean, you don't have to answer. I was just curious."
Her voice just barely loud enough to be heard over all the other conversations, she replied,
Social anxiety, mostly. It's one of the reasons I started playing MMORPGs.
Elbert sank down to one knee beside her, gently placing a hand on hers on the arm of the chair. When she looked over at him with her eyes full of worry, he smiled gently at her.
I'm sorry if I've made you uncomfortable. I will do my best to curtail my sexual comments, okay?
Her hand trembled slightly and she licked her lips nervously.
You aren't trying to embarrass or hurt me with them, though. So it's okay. I know that you're safe to be with, which helps me get used to how a lot of other people act. So don't change anything you're doing. It will only help me in the long run.
He reached up and rubbed her ear gently.
As you wish, Fluff.
She froze momentarily when he touched her ear, then pushed her head into his hand, purring. He chuckled softly as he continued to rub her ear.
Gods, you do cute really well.
Fluff blushed crimson, but purred even louder as she rubbed her head into his hand. Minutes went by, each of them quite content as they waited for the portal mage. Eventually, the mage showed up and led them to the portal room. Fluff went through as Albra tipped the mage, then he followed after her. Appearing in the ruined inn, Fluff was waiting for him, so he buffed up, then summoned Bob and Tiny.
Okay, guys, we're killing goblins again today with Fluff,
he told them as he went to the door.
No Karen today?
Bob asked, disappointment clear in his voice.
Hello, Fluffball,
Tiny rumbled.
I will keep you safe.
No Karen today, Bob, which means we'll have to figure out another way to deal with the archers. I'm thinking I'll go solo them while you all take out the melee.
I don't like that plan, but I will follow it if you think it is the best plan,
Tiny opined.
If we try anything else, Bob or Fluff might take the damage instead of me,
Albert pointed out.
Anyway, we'll check the houses we found goblins in before. The first house is 3 spots down, but first, the buffs.
He quickly cast Demonic Haze and Demonic Retribution onto Tiny, before they set out at a jog towards the targeted house. As they reached the house, a goblin leaned out the window on the second floor to shoot at Tiny. The arrow missed by an inch as Tiny reached the doorway, pushing the two goblins inside back to give the others room to follow him in. 2 small sparks ignited on each goblin's chest, as Retribution did 10 damage to each in return for the attacks they'd landed on Tiny. Albert slapped Tiny with demonic vitality as he ran for the stairs. He pulled his maul out, flames licking along it just as the goblin archer reached the bottom of the stairs. In a panic, the archer fired point blank into Albert's chest, pulling an expletive from him and taking just short of 20 health from him. In return, the maul smashed into the goblin, taking away a little over 200 health. The goblin screeched as it dropped the bow and pulled a dagger. That gave Albert enough time to rip the arrow from his chest with another curse. The two clashed again, with Albert taking a gash to his side, in return slamming the maul into the goblin's head, as it had overextended the attack. 2 more attacks were exchanged before the goblin fell over dead, just as the others dispatched the 2 goblin sword wielders. Grimacing, Albert knelt down and looted the goblin by his feet, as his wounds began to heal now that combat was over.
I really hate taking damage,
he groused as he tossed the loot into his bag.
Full pain immersion sucks. No one wants that. If they ever split the sensors between pleasure and pain, no one will ever turn pain up past maybe 25% for those who really want to feel like the game is real.
Fluff finished looting the other 2 goblins. I'll take your word for it. The minimum setting is 10%. That feels like Nerf bats, which is funny more than anything. I turned it up to 30% briefly. After 1 fight, I knocked it back down to 20%. At 20%, pain at least vaguely feels like it should. A stab is like a small needle poking you. A cut is a quick burning sensation, and blunt damage feels like a wiffle bat. It's just enough sensory info to make you react to it accordingly.
Yeah, now if anyone could convince the devs of that,
Albert said as he joined the others at the door.
Oh well, I shall suffer, not so silently, for my friends. The next house should be 4 down from here.
He buffed Tiny before they piled out the door and down the street. The next 6 hours passed with them doing the same thing over and over,